I'm Sarah C.
And I'm Sarah D. You're listening to the Art Attack Podcast.
Each episode, we tackle a new work of art in Washington, D.C.
We hope our podcast encourages you to look at art in a new way.
When it comes to art, we're serious.
As an art attack. We are looking at a piece by an artist named Ruzani Nemasatoni called Urban Testaments 1, 2, and 3 from 1995, and it is at the African Art Museum.
And we at the podcast like to try and bring new cultures and perspectives. Now we're doing one from a South African artist. We're trying to get into different types of non-Western art.
But this one is sort of a bridge between Western and non-Western because it has references to America and Western culture and then links it back to African themes. So it's a nice little transitional bridgey piece.
And we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's three panels, and they are metal with wooden frames and then paper inside the wooden frames. The third one doesn't have the wooden frame. It just has the paper on the metal.
So they're each a little different. They each have some of the same components, which is like the super, super rusty metal background with these screws that are bolting other random pieces of metal onto them.
One of them even has like a nail sticking out of the top, but they're all that same kind of brown, rusted color. And then the color from the piece really comes from the things in the middle. One of them is blue, and the other two are sort of like an ochre, almost like a blood color.
The one in the center also has some bits of like jagged glass that are sticking out from the wooden frame. And then the one on the right that doesn't have a frame, it's got like, what is that, caulk or something?
It's kind of spewing out from the sides, from behind the paper. Or I don't know, asbestos? I don't know.
In any case, the general idea is that it looks like you would need some tetanus shots after handling one of these things. They're not very welcoming.
Yeah, pretty rough. Yeah. So what we know about these materials is that they are actually from demolished buildings in Harlem. That's where the wood and the metal parts come from. And the paper look like screen prints, and they are from his father's passbook, which was means in apartheid South Africa to control and monitor where the black population was and was going.
Like I said, this is a bridge. It's got these two elements, one an American and one an African reference, but both obviously with a lot of pretty heavy and crucial themes for anyone of color globally.
And it is really crucial information, and thankfully there is a label to help us with that, but it really is important to know that those two things are part of this. But I think now we can also start talking about references now that we have a sort of complete description and information about it.
We probably have one of the same references at least. Like you said, it's nice to have that background and to know that these are passbooks from South Africa, but even looking at it without that info, it reminds me of the identification books that they pass out at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. I think the pairing of this like official document with the rusty metal, it's very reminiscent of a lot of the ways Holocaust art kind of winds up looking.
Totally, absolutely. The other reference I have, and because it's called Urban Testaments and the way it's these three pieces lined up, I said earlier a triptych, but also like an altarpiece, especially the middle one, the way it's framed, just I feel like there's this sort of religious iconography and the rust and the, you think of blood, and I don't know, like I start getting very religious connotations from these too.
Mm-hmm. Even just apart from visually knowing that these things come from Harlem, that obviously conjures up a lot of references. You know, it's gone through a lot of different phases, so it has a whole plethora of meanings attached to it. You can think the golden age of the Harlem Renaissance, but then what this seems to be more referencing is the decay after that era is done and sort of like the New York of the 1970s, economic downturn and a lot of drugs and problems in Harlem. And this is, seems to be referencing that a bit more.
Well, and the fact that they're from demolished buildings, I think, is also maybe a reference to that decline of that golden age. It's the detritus of these great, beautiful brownstone buildings that had all these incredible tin ceilings and what happened to that. Yeah.
The one on the right, certainly, it is like the old tin ceiling, but all rusty. So what is associated with a very affluent kind of setting, like that fancy brownstone New York has, but then rotting and falling apart.
Yeah. And actually, to just keep referencing the Holocaust, I would invite listeners to re-listen to our piece on Richard Serra, because that's a piece made out of metal that has that same like rusting and rotting, almost decaying feel to it. And I think that same sort of thing conjures up for me in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
For me, what's so interesting is that you've got this thing that's a passbook, which is meant to limit, coupled with clearly the son had to make trips to New York to get the material. So you've got this juxtaposition of this is the symbol of my father's restriction, coupled with his ability to travel freely. And this piece is only from 1995. Apartheid officially ended in 94. So it's still really raw. And I think that it's just a kind of a beautiful testament to the fact that this is the old and the decaying and the rotting. And the passbook is included in that.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's, I think, what I'm getting a lot from it. It begs the question, like, why are these two things tied together in this piece? What is the connection between apartheid South Africa and Harlem? Obviously, they're both, like, as I said, fraught with meaning, is taking the passbook and turning it into a relic. Mm. This passbook may have been actively in use by his father, as you said, only 1 year prior to this now being in this art piece. But by putting it in this context and making it look weathered in the way that it is, with all the rust kind of overlay color on top of the images, so it's obscuring it and turning it into this like piece of history. Mm-hmm. It's like taking away the power of the passbook as a functional item and turning it into an historical object.
Right. And you started talking a little bit about why the connection between Harlem and South Africa, and I believe the artist had said that when he visited Harlem, it reminded him of Soweto. It's sort of, I think, a dialogue between not just past and present, but international connections and African experience, African-American experience. So it's a pretty, you said fraught with meaning. I think that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing to think about. How does a state-sponsored system of oppression relate to the ghettoization that happens on a social level in the U.S. It gets into very complicated things because there is official racism, of course, in U.S. history. Yeah. So it's a just sort of interesting comparison, I guess, between these two moments of history.
And he's definitely asking us to make those comparisons, I think. You can see that there's clearly something about these things that are being framed that are so important. But once you know it's that personal connection to his father, it just becomes this even more dynamic relationship and conversation.
Right, because do you think it would be as powerful if it were just some random passbook and not the artist's father?
Definitely not, no. I think it would be an interesting commentary, but I definitely think having his father's voice there, even just sort of peeking through. What about you?
Yeah, I think that personal connection makes it that much more potent and powerful kind of image, knowing that.
Yeah.
You wonder also, why has he titled this Urban Testaments 1, 2, and 3, and then clearly there's that connection with the triptych, but I don't know what to take out of that.
I don't know enough about religion in South Africa, but I think it's fairly Christian, but it's sort of like the legacy, maybe it's the other direction, because it's like missionaries from America coming to Africa, you know, you think about that, it's like, it's a very Western.
Yeah, I guess that you can sort of think about the imposition of Western religion in the African continent, right, and in South Africa as a nation.
Right, especially because in South Africa, apartheid is specifically about the minority ruling over the majority, so maybe it's a wink and a nod to that.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be an on-the-nose, like, this clearly means this specifically. Sometimes it's enough to take these references and just see what it brings up for people.
Yeah, I don't know that if we weren't talking about it together, we would have come up with all that stuff. You know, it helps to have someone to break it down with.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's start wrapping up, and what are your takeaways?
My biggest takeaway is the idea that knowing that these are something that were owned by his father, I think, gives it such a new dimension. And I do appreciate the idea that he's able to go and travel in ways that his father couldn't. And knowing that this symbol of his father's oppression is now in a museum. It's over, it's done.
And my takeaway, too, is the idea of the bridge, and that even if you're not familiar necessarily with African art, don't be intimidated to come to the African Art Museum and see it's not just an ethnographic museum. There are a lot of interesting contemporary artists whose work is being shown here. Because I think I was a little bit nervous about trying to do a piece here because I don't know anything about African art. It's a different context for me, but I think that we can draw a lot of connections. So I like that, the idea of the bridge.
The bridge, yeah. It's good.